The following podcast is sponsored by SuperheroStuff.com.
Good evening. Welcome to SciFiForMe.com.
You know, I'm going to have to boost the levels on that quite a bit.
Probably, yeah. Yes. Welcome to H2O at SciFiForMe.com. I am Timothy Harvey, and I'm sitting across from Mr. Jason Hunt.
Hello.
And this is our, well, it's not really the Halloween episode, because Halloween is next week. But this is our scary.
It's our Halloween prep episode.
Right, This is the episode where we're going to talk about science fiction horror and give you guys a chance to go find some of the stuff we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Because there is a long, long history of really great science fiction and horror hybrids, and some really terrible ones as well. We will not spend a whole lot of time talking about the terrible ones. It's a very rich, rich history of the two genres coming together. Sometimes rather brilliantly, and sometimes not so much. But it's crossed pretty much everything. It's television and movies and there's a great, one of my favorite Star Trek episodes, Wolf in the Fold.
Yes, by Robert Bloch.
Robert Bloch.
Who wrote, of course, Psycho.
Right, yes, very much a... you don't get too many knives in the shower scenes in science fiction.
No, you don't.
But which is probably okay. Why is this scene in here? How very strange. Well, okay, I take that back. Jason X.
Yeah. Which is Friday the 13th in space.
Right. Yes. And that would be an example of a film that, I don't know, you could put it on in the background while you're having a party.
That's the kind of movie, when I was in high school, marching band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after every football game, the marching band went over. We got together for a party at somebody's house.
Sure.
Every night after the football game, we all went over. And invariably, there was something like that playing on the TV. Nobody was watching it.
Right.
But it was on.
Oh, the 80s and 90s. I mean, the video store decades, right? So you could go into any video store and you could find shelves of films that were
less than stellar.
B-grade science fiction, B-grade horror, and often the box art would make you think it was a really cool combination of the two.
Oh yeah,
you invariably disappointed. It was kind of a golden. We talk about now being a really fantastic time for independent film because everyone's trying to figure out new models with the internet and things like that. And it's opened up the door to, and of course the technology has gone with editing and cameras being less expensive. Independent filmmakers can do a lot more. But the 80s and 90s, the smaller production houses that were cranking out these. I mean, The Asylum in some degree is the...
It's the modern-day equivalent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, you know, the folks who were making these films back in the 80s and 90s were often really serious about what they were doing. They were not setting out to make a mockbuster.
Not like Troma now.
Well, but see, Troma's a special case. Because Troma, you could tell that everybody involved with Troma Pictures was just giggling.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, there was I remember watching The Toxic Avenger in high school.
They're doing, I got an email from them the other day. I don't know. It's either a reunion. I think they're doing a Toxic Avenger reunion, but I don't know if they're doing it as a movie or if they're doing it as a touring get together. Here's all the cast around. I've got to go back and check that.
That could be fun to watch.
Maybe we should talk to Chris Jackson about bringing in Troma. For a panel at Planet Comic Con.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. People would love that. That would be a lot of fun. So we watched a lot of those films. We watched a lot of the Troma Pictures. We watched a lot of the low-budget sci-fi, low-budget horror in high school and college.
Battle
Beyond the Stars, which was not...
John Boy in space.
Yeah, exactly. The Dirty Dozen, well, about half the Dirty Dozen in space. It was John Boy in space. Mm-hmm. It was amazing recycling of stock space footage, which showed up in a lot of science fiction films in the course of that. Those space battles in that movie were reused in like three other movies.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But so it's there was certainly a golden age of the science fiction horror film in terms of just mashing them together and throwing them on a video shelf and hoping that someone rented it.
Yeah.
But it goes way back. I mean, the bringing of these two genres together, I mean, probably the biggest one and the earliest one, of course, is Frankenstein. Because if you look at Frankenstein, it is not only a science fiction, you know, it's not only horror, but it is science fiction. And it's certainly for the time, it was very much science fiction.
Oh, yeah.
And it's managed to spawn quite a few movies and TV movies and features and things like that, including a couple of, let's see, there was the really kind of bad Dean Koontz TV show that was on for, I think, it got a pilot, I think. There's that new Frankenstein TV show coming out. Which
it's now called Looking Glass.
Right.
It's on Fox.
Because it's not Frankenstein at all.
Yeah.
But there's been some really interesting productions of Frankenstein. And of course, the one that I would definitely say for Halloween, the one you want to go get, of course, is the James Whale, the classic Boris Karloff. And the one that is just, I mean, it's one of the finest films of the 20th
century.
Well,
it set the standard for everything.
And not actually a very good adaptation of the novel.
Well, back in those days, you know, you didn't have to worry too much about, you know, being faithful to the source material.
Because
people didn't really care so much about it as much as they do now.
Well, in many ways, movies were still new. I mean, they were still, the fact that you even got a Frankenstein movie. In fact, if you go look at was it Thomas Edison did a version of Frankenstein back in the silent picture days?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the monster was looked not at all like it's described in the book, but very interesting monster design.
Well, you can even go back even further than that with Nosferatu.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. And there's been, in the days of, copyright. We'll just change the names. And it'll be the exact same story. We'll just change the names. But I heard a rumor there's going to be a Nosferatu remake.
I heard that.
And
yeah.
The Klaus Kinski one from the 80s? Was it 70s or 80s? Klaus Kinski did one.
Yeah.
And it was, he was genuinely a genuinely creepy person. And so there was a certain amount of bringing that along in playing the part. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, it works so well as a silent picture. And I realize that silent films are a hard sell these days.
Yeah.
You almost have to have, the art film sensibility and be targeting that audience. There's just something about that. It's like if someone were to try and remake The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Oh, you know, at some point they will.
Yeah, but
they'll try.
But I think you would lose that again. Yeah. It's one of those. It's some of this stuff works because it was made when it was made, set in the time period that they set it in, and I think it would not necessarily update. You'd have to do something else to it. You couldn't just add dialogue and sound.
Well, it's like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You have it's been in the collective consciousness this week because October 21st.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you could have missed it.
Somehow I've missed that.
Yeah, but we've had these articles over the last maybe 6 months or so.
Sure.
Talking about the possibility of a sequel or a reboot or a remake or whatever. And Zemeckis has always said, no, they're not until we're dead.
Yeah.
And not unless our estate can figure out how to stop them, because it's never going to happen, which is really good, you know, because you don't need to. I've always thought if you've got a classic film, there's no need to remake it or reboot it. Just re-release it.
Right.
And it'll find a new audience every time you re-release it. Because new people, that's how I found Lawrence of Arabia.
Remake the bad films. and make them right
some
this time.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, there's plenty of bad movies out there that you could you watch them and go, you know, this could have been good if if the cast wasn't terrible or your script didn't have a fatal flaw.
Superman Returns.
Or your budget was somehow, you're trying to do a blockbuster budget and you've got $1.50. You know,
Man of Steel. Oh, wait, we're talking about horror films. Man of Steel was pretty scary, though.
Well, it was one of the scarier versions of Superman. You have to go back to the very beginnings of Superman to get somebody quite that dangerous. But there is, I think for the modern audience who isn't necessarily as familiar with the classic.
Well, you know, Universal is working on that a little bit because they've got all the classic monster movies they're doing remakes of, sort of. I mean, they've done the Dracula one already with Wilson. Who was it?
I'll be honest.
Yeah. Anyway, it didn't matter. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it didn't really because nobody saw it. But they're redoing the Frankenstein story. They're redoing the werewolf story. I think they're probably redoing the Mummy.
Yeah.
So all of those things are coming back.
They were talking about A Creature from the Black Lagoon movie.
Yeah, A Creature from the Black Lagoon. All of those are going to be remade.
Yeah.
And I don't see the point. I mean, the originals hold up well enough that you could you could do a digital restoration and clean them up and put them back out there.
Well, I think you run into a couple of problems. One is that first of all, there will be a Frankenstein remake at some point because it's a story that lends itself to being remade.
Yeah, because let's think about that for just a second. The entire story is about remaking a person.
Right, it was not an intentional pun. I wish I could say that was on purpose, and it was not. But yeah, that is good. But there have been very interesting versions of that story. The Kenneth Branagh version with De Niro actually doing a pretty credible version of the monster.
Right.
There was the I think it's available on DVD or Blu-ray. The stage show that had Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller, the two Sherlocks.
Oh, right. And they flipped. They switched every night. They played different characters.
They played either the doctor or the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, and by the way, for the folks at home, the monster is named Adam. Frankenstein is the doctor.
Right.
So,
I think the most recent film version of that was I, Frankenstein with.
yeah, okay, it was a movie, and it
had Frankenstein in the title.
Frankenstein in the title.
No.
See, that's a film that you could have made in the 80s, and it could have come out from like Carolco.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, or Canon.
Definitely would have been Canon.
Goran Globus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
No, not Goran Globus. Golan Globus. Globus.
So,
Superman 4.
That's a bad movie. But it's not even a good bad movie.
No.
And it has a good cast. And it's like, clearly they had bills to pay. And that's okay. I respect that. I respect that I got bills to pay.
Yeah.
If someone were to go, Tim, we'd like you to be in this film where you're going to play a terrible knockoff of a character you actually like, but you'll be able to pay your rent for the next 6 months.
Sold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it is a story that you can come back to and you can tell a new version of, and you can. So there will be. I'm not as worried about a remake of Frankenstein as I am at looking at. Some of this stuff fits a time that I think modern audiences don't have a reference point anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Werewolf stories, aside from films like Underworld and things like that, where they make it's all very stylized. And the werewolf story works best in old Europe, which doesn't exist anymore.
Right, all the gothic and the shadows and the stone and the castles. And
the mummy works best in that time period where we were... Mummy films work best in a time when the British basically ruled the world.
Well, I mean, that's how they did the ones with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz.
Sure, but they weren't scary.
No.
Yeah, and no. I think that's the other problem is that we are so used to fast-moving monsters now that having an actual slow-moving monster, dread in horror... is not there much anymore.
Yeah.
It's rare when you come across films like The Babadook or It Follows.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I think those films had the impact on modern audiences is because they sat there and went, dread is scary.
Yeah. You have to draw that out.
And
there is a very specific way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That works. You know, Hitchcock was a master of this.
Sure, early Carpenter.
The suspense. You're waiting. It's mm-hmm. the anticipation of something terrible about to happen.
Sure.
No.
And then it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. And then it does.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So yeah, you look at Hitchcock. You look at early Carpenter, like Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
You look at
Alien.
Oh, especially Alien.
Yeah.
Because Alien is another one that we would definitely want to draw attention to, because it is, to some degree, one of the best examples of the perfect melding of science fiction and horror, because it understood that not only it's like some of the best science fiction, it's not about the tech, it's about the people.
Yeah.
And Alien is a haunted house story in space.
Mm-hmm. With the serial killer.
With the first good explanation as to why you just don't leave the house. It's because it's space.
You can't leave.
You can't go out the window.
Right.
You can't, you know. And
if I was going to remake Frankenstein mm-hmm. in a modern now mm-hmm. type of thing, you know, do a new version of it, I would push it forward, say, 150, 200 years,
mm-hmm.
and the monster would be a clone.
Right.
You could do it with cloning, and that's how you update the template. Because, you know, grave robbing and body horror and that kind of thing, it's kind of passé at this point. It's like, oh yeah, I've seen it.
Well,
done
body
it, whatever.
Body horror certainly has stuck around, but I think the body horror has kind of ended up kind of being tainted by the torture porn,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
I think.
Saw.
Yeah, and then there's certainly things to enjoy if you like horror films in the first three Saw movies,
mm-hmm.
It kind of muddied the waters for you. You're getting good body horror out of the French right now. There's the High Tension, Martyrs.
Right.
These are films that are not science fiction in any way, shape, or form. But in terms of horror, the French are going, okay, well, how about this? And you go, oh my God.
Yeah.
I think that you're not cloning could work. Nanotech would
be another way. Yeah.
But I think that you have to. I think, you know, you could certainly do something that's set in the right time period. I think you could do a werewolf picture set in the right time period.
Yeah.
And I think some of this stuff really comes out of that. Creature from the Black Lagoon could be brought up to now without a whole lot of fuss. And Creature of the Black Lagoon is an interesting one too, because it does have elements of science fiction. It's a scientific expedition
mm-hmm.
to go, you know, it's science fiction in the same way that, say, Professor Challenger, The Lost World
oh,
is
yeah.
science fiction.
Yeah.
Another book that's been adapted into disappointing movies.
We sat and watched, James and I watched the silent version
mm-hmm.
of The Lost World.
Yeah, stop motion.
And the story holds up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for what it is.
Sure.
And of course, the 13-year-old is sitting there going, "Really, we're going to watch this?" And of course, he gets into it.
Sure.
And he's watching it. And mm-hmm. it's like King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. What do I want to watch? This? Yes, let's watch this. And
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the day, he liked it.
Sure.
It's like, hey, movie. Mikey, you know, it's
kids turn to the folks, the old person next to you and explain yeah. who Mikey is.
Really? Yeah.
The reason some of these films are classics is because the filmmakers didn't know they weren't supposed to be doing things.
Yeah.
And so they ended up telling the story they wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And because they weren't getting studios leaning over their shoulders saying the marketing group says this, the demographics say this. Well, yeah. Know. And while we certainly, that's not every film that we are lucky to have on the big screen, but we can definitely point to examples of films that were clearly designed by committee,
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four. Or sticking with the science fiction horror connection, Supernova. James Spader, Angela Bassett.
Right.
It not only has got a you can find this online if you feel so inclined, folks. But it had a terrible production history. I mean, the film was an example of how not to make a movie. And it's just a bad, bad movie. But it's basically a serial killer in space, alien possession thingy. What's it? You know.
Yeah.
The elements are there, but
the mix is off.
The mix is way off. But it had a great cast. I mean, Robin Tunney. Yeah, so that's not one of the films we're recommending that you go watch before.
No.
Unless, again, you could put it on in the background.
I remember when I was, when was it? I was in, I may not even have been a teenager yet. I might have been. One of the independent stations in Dallas did one of the first 3D conversions for television. It's like, hey, we're run it in 3D, you know, with the red and the blue, and you get the glasses and watch it.
Right.
And they ran Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D.
Right.
It was okay. It was kind of cool. I mean, it was new technology. It was just, you know, it was a fun biggie wow thing.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't repeat the experience.
No.
Because, you know, okay, fine. You know, it loses its novelty. But I think that might be one of those. You're right. I think, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon could be updated for modern times. The Thing is another one that I think is – I mean, because they've done it a couple of times already. But you could probably get away with doing that one in a contemporary setting as well, maybe.
So the Thing, based, of course, on the classic Campbell story, Who Goes There?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was made into the 1953,
yeah, with James Arness.
James Arness.
I've seen that one.
Right, which is basically your vegetable, killer vegetable. Because if you for the folks who haven't read the short story.
1951.
It is very much akin to, it is closer in tone to The Carpenter, The Thing. Than the original Thing from Another World was.
Right.
But there is certainly some charm, and I enjoy the movie. But it's something that if you have watched the Carpenter film, it's a very different experience.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy the Thing from Another World. Now you get to the Carpenter one, which is another excellent example of combining science fiction and horror, because it's an alien spaceship crash landing and it's a thing from another world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also possession horror and it's body horror and it's the fear of the other. It's very, very much a horror element.
Well, and you're in an isolated outpost. You've got the haunted house elements. You've got the serial killer stalker elements. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you've also got. I mean, you're dealing with an alien creature. It's an intelligent monster,
mm-hmm.
and while it was, and of course, the one fun thing to remember is that film did not do well when it opened. It critically, people ripped it up.
Yeah,
because it was very, very shocking for the time. The effects work was, nobody was prepared for that, and of course, obviously, it has become one of the modern classics of science fiction horror.
It's held up as a standard.
Oh yeah, and what ends up happening is when you have something like that, somebody decides they want to make a prequel. A couple of years ago, they made a film called The Thing, which is a prequel to The Thing.
I think the word they're using now is preboot.
Yeah,
maybe.
And while I cannot, in all honesty, tell you it's a brilliant movie, it got a lot more abuse than I think it should have.
Yeah.
The cast is good. The premise is good. The thing is that they didn't tread any new ground. Nobody was crying out to find out what happened to the Norwegian team that we find the bodies of in the Carpenter thing. Nobody, there was not like, you know what I need?
What happened? What happened?
So it's a story that you didn't need. and it's which essentially and it ends up being almost a retread mm-hmm. of the Carpenter film. But it's an entertaining picture. Its biggest sin is that there aren't enough practical effects in it. And that's a weird thing to say in this era of digital everything, because digital effects give you the universe. You can build the entire universe. But one of the things that works so well about The Thing, the Carpenter one, and The Thing from Another World, the original movie, because they're practical things. Even though the monster, the RNS monster, is
almost this guy in a suit.
Yeah, it's almost kind of cute now. Mm-hmm. It's a physical thing, and the physical practical effects of the Carpenter movie are still shocking, and still interesting, and still don't quite look right, which adds to the alienness of them. Whereas the digital effects were almost too smooth.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen discussions online about visual effects and how far they've come, and the fact that they are now too clean to be realistic. You know, the people just take them just a little bit too far,
right. Yep.
In designing something, and they don't dirty it up enough. It's not rough.
That was the big Jurassic Park thing, is that they realized that they had to fuzz the edges because your eyes, you make it too sharp and a line, exactly. your eyes.
Well, don't and I run into that when I do green screen photography, mm-hmm. or if I do opticals where I'm layering different layers of images and sure. stuff. One of the things that I have figured out is that in order to really sell it, to make mm-hmm. it believable, I gotta go all the way around the edge, you know, because you cut something out, you've right. got a hard line sure. there, and mm-hmm. so I take my blur tool in Photoshop and I blur the edges, yeah. and it blends everything in a little bit better, mm-hmm. so it looks like it's actually there.
Right, because if your edges are too sharp, it's sitting on top of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
it's just and you can see that.
And then it's video.
And then you can find this on, you know, your asylum pictures or things like that. They're not as concerned with that sort of stuff. So you, mm. your effects don't look real.
Right.
And they don't look like you're inhabiting the world.
And you can see some of that in Star Trek The Next Generation when they turn off the holodeck.
Mm-hmm.
It's really noticeable.
Oh, hey, speaking of that, I just...
Star Trek or holodecks?
Well, effects of a time.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching the... the sci-fi version of Dune,
mm-hmm.
the three-night,
right? The one with William Hurt,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Saskia Reeves, and it's a really good cast. And it's a solid adaptation of a book that's very hard to adapt.
Yes,
story-wise, much better than the David Lynch version, which. Moved into body horror a couple of places.
Right.
And so there's a lot more of this story from the novel, a lot more of the politics and the theory, which is critical right. actually to the one of the reasons Dune is as successful as it was as a book. And the effects have not aged well at all.
Right.
The space effects just yeah. look
dated.
They haven't aged as well as Babylon 5. Babylon 5's aged better.
Yeah.
Yeah, Babylon 5 looks dated. I was a little disappointed to see how well it had not aged.
Well, and Farscape has aged pretty well too. I've been going through James and I've been mm-hmm, watching Farscape yeah. and the space effects at least they hold up.
Mm-hmm,
they
yeah.
hold up. So
well, and they for the time, you know, that was one of Sci-Fi Channel's big gripes, is that this is a very expensive show to make.
Yeah.
I think there will be a remake of The Thing at some point. The Thing is one of those films that I think another generation. Mm-hmm. Some of these things it becomes a generational thing. You've got to lose the parents
right.
of the kids who are watching it now to make it work again. I mean, you can't because it's...
Yeah, you've got to wait that long.
Yeah, because it's the story, and it may not be a straight adaptation. It could be another version of the short story. It can be something, you know, it's... Mm-hmm. Which I would much rather see anyway. If you're gonna, you know, go back to the source material, tell your own version of it.
Right.
Don't just sit there and go, hey, John Carpenter needs to be having a movie remade. Although, if you want to make a proper version of Ghosts of Mars, that would be fine because it's not a good Carpenter movie. And it's also science fiction horror.
No.
But it's it's boring. And it's got Natasha Henstridge and Ice Cube and
James Woods.
James Woods. It's like, just why is this film not good?
Yeah,
because it's not good. but you, some of the stuff you get, our folks, and us by extension, and then of course the birth of cable, which was our teenage years.
Yeah.
Night Gallery was a lot of science fiction horror.
Right.
Twilight Zone, of course, was a wonderful blend of science fiction and often of horror. Of course, Wolf in the Fold from Star Trek. You would see these things where you would have the setting is science fiction, but we would sit there and go, you know, and here's a serial killer. And
occasionally you'll have a cat's paw.
Cat's paw. So, folks, for your Star Trek choices, Wolf in the Fold, cat's paw. The only reason
to watch
cat's paw.
Spock's brain is body horror.
Sorry. No. Leave out the word body.
Body horror.
It's just horror. It's just a horrible script.
And then cat's paw is the scary, you know, haunted house.
If it was scary.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Wolf in the Fold is the serial killer.
Yeah, but Wolf in the Fold, there's tension to Wolf in the Fold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Was, no, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, you know, as far as categories.
Oh, sure.
For all of that stuff. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion of scary science fiction films. We're going to make some recommendations for you to put together your own Halloween screening for parties and such, and we're going to address some email when H2O continues right after this message from our sponsor, SuperheroStuff.com. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to H2O on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Where can you get Age of Ultron stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Justice League stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Doctor Who stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Daredevil stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
New items being added all the time. Get your superhero stuff at SuperheroStuff.com. Plus, the Hero Box is back. $70 worth of superhero stuff for only $49. SuperheroStuff.com, where heroes shop.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back, and so is our discussion of each and every episode as we gather down in the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters. Join us for recaps, analysis, and discussion, with a few digressions along the way, and you do have security clearance to listen. Level 117 every week, part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio, only on scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
You want a multiverse? We've got them all. Get the latest news at scififorme.com.
Back on H2O, Jason Hunt here along with Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And let's address some email. Let's go to the mailbox. Well, you remember Zoom?
Uh-huh.
It's time to roll out the barrel.
Yeah, yeah.
Find it, you know, it's the mail. Yeah.
Sure.
Mail call. We have been asking for feedback from you listeners and digging through. I was cleaning out email over the weekend. And some of the stuff going to the H2O address apparently did not forward to me.
No.
So the first one I want to address real quick, Mike, asking about, he says, I don't understand what the issue that people are having with the whole Hulk Black Widow relationship thing. This is back when we were talking about the problem with Black Widow and the fact that the relationship that between her and Banner just kind of seemed to come out of nowhere.
Right.
That's not science fiction horror, but that's,
we
did get the email. There it is. So anyway, yeah, but, this is from Doug in California. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he's got some very constructive points that I've sent to you.
Right.
That
we were looking. No, I'd agree.
But he does address our digressions.
Right. Yeah, we know.
I don't mind an off topic yet related story or comment. Telling personal stories about yourselves as an opener or how it relates to the subject is a good way to let people get to know you and get to like you. That's assuming that anybody likes us.
That's true. Yes.
just like character development in a story, but sometimes it goes on for way too long. I usually listen to you guys during my breaks at work. There have been several times I've been yelling at you guys to hurry up and get to the point because I have to go back into work. All right, Doug, we are going to try.
We're going to do our best.
To minimize our digressions, because we do that on level 117 as well. We tend to kind of go a little bit far afield. We're going to do better about that.
Yeah.
Yes. And from the technology standpoint, I have had a couple of people have mentioned the fact that our audio levels, and this is something I've noticed before too, if you're listening to a podcast in the car,
mm-hmm.
we don't. One of the challenges that we have from a technology standpoint is that we don't have the compressors that are attached to transmitters for radio signals.
Right.
So when you're listening to the radio in the car, it's a boosted signal that's coming out of the station to the mm-hmm. tower and all of that.
Sure.
Podcasts, we don't have the advantage of that. We don't have that luxury. So the challenge is finding a balance between strong audio levels
mm-hmm.
and levels that overmodulate, because if you get them too strong going into the recorder, then it overmodulates what we call it's our inside baseball term there, overmodulation, which basically turns the whole thing into fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
And you start hearing the around the
right.
edges.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we have to be really careful about. So we have a set standard level that we've been using, and I'm going to try to start boosting that a little bit and just see how far we can get to that edge. We're just going to go right up to the edge and see, and maybe that'll be something a little bit better for consumption in the mobile world.
Sure.
And this one from Ray in Pennsylvania. You remember Ray in Pennsylvania sent us the DVDs of Steingate?
Right.
Steingate mm-hmm. that we haven't watched yet?
Yep.
Yeah, it's on the list. It's on the list. I'm catching up on some different anime stuff. He's suggesting that we do some original programming. Funnily enough.
Yeah,
so yeah,
we'd like that.
Yeah,
we have.
Well, address that, we are working on some things internally that I think probably we're going to be able to launch in 2016.
Yeah,
and Ray has indicated here that he's working on something.
Interesting.
So there's the mailbag for now.
Excellent.
We do appreciate everybody's feedback.
Oh, yeah.
And your comments.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to comment on social media, you can send us an email, h2o@scifi4me.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call our hotline. It's 573-42-SCIFI. And leave a message there, and that will get to us as well. All right. Scary sci-fi. We've talked about Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Predator. We haven't really talked about Predator. Predator is kind of, sort of, it's on the fringe.
Yeah, because it's structured like an action movie.
Right.
And it also, it's the same thing that you run into when you look at Aliens. Aliens is not a horror film.
No.
Aliens is a thriller, certainly.
Military action picture.
Which I think was, you know, it was that conscious decision to take it in a different direction because they didn't want to tread the same ground. And I think that Alien 3 was almost an attempt to bring it back to horror, but it doesn't.
Aliens, you know, it just struck me. Aliens kind of bears a little bit of a resemblance to Die Hard.
Everything during that time period. Because there's the running joke that everything was Die Hard on A. Or Die Hard in a...
Die Hard on a plane. Yeah, Die Hard in a boat. Yeah.
Steven Seagal's, the good chunk of his early career was remaking
right.
Die Hard movies.
Right.
But yeah.
It just hit me, though, because you've got your protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
You have a group of antagonists,
mm-hmm.
right? And you have to go through a place you can't get out of.
Right.
You know, it's a secure lockdown facility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Alan Rickman is played by the giant queen alien.
Well, and you remember the guy, not Paul Reiser's character, but in Die Hard, the guy with the who came in and was sucking up to him, and hey, I can get you drugs and I can get you money. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's the company guy.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the company guy.
Yeah.
In science fiction films and horror films, always beware of the company guy. The company guy is always.
Well, in Doctor Who.
Oh, sure.
You know, just the ones that we just had. Well, those were horror.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of. You know, yeah, ghost story.
See, Doctor. Okay, so now Doctor Who's got a long history of horror, especially in the 80s. The Tom Baker years, the Hinchcliffe. Is that was that the showrunner, the producer at the time?
Yeah, Philip, I think so. Philip Hitchcock? I think so, yeah.
Horror at Fang Rock, which was straight up, you know, thing on the isolated place killing you. And, you know, it's.
Well, and you made the point in your. It was either this most recent recap or the one right before that, that Doctor Who has this history of. Isolated outpost.
Oh yeah,
monster yeah, chasing the, you. Yeah. Death and mm-hmm. death and mayhem and chaos.
Oh yeah, the base, the whole isolated base under siege story. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, and that's a and in many ways that's kind of a horror model. Is and to its benefit and its detriment. You know, for most horror stuff, it's being trapped in a place you can't get out of with something hunting you. And that does lend itself well to things like some science fiction formats. So Doctor Who's actually gone there quite a bit. You can water it down to a certain point too, because Stargate, at its core, is about possession.
Yeah,
but it's about fighting the invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah,
which is one of the films that I would highly recommend.
Which one?
Okay.
The original, or
so there are several different versions of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and I would recommend the 56 version, which of course is the original film version, mm-hmm. and the 78,
and that's the one with Donald Sutherland,
yes.
and Leonard Nimoy.
Yep, 92, 93, and 2007. I would say no, because they don't do anything new. No. They don't make it any scarier. Invasion in this 2007 one is especially disappointing because that was.
Was that the one with Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, it's the one with.
What was the one she did?
The one head just right out of the redhead. Used to be married to Tom Cruise.
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman, and it was Daniel Craig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
see, I'm thinking the one with Gwyneth Paltrow and Sean Penn, but that was a political thriller.
Yeah, that was political.
Yeah, that was. So, yeah. Okay. Never mind.
So that was. It's disappointing that you have these. You know, when you have talented people in a bad movie,
which happens a lot.
Oh yeah, because again, they didn't set out to make
bills.
A bad movie.
No.
They didn't set out to do something dumb. But yeah, no, the 56 and the 78, different takes on the same story, mm-hmm. but definitely. Both worth watching, and both have different ways of dealing with the nightmare of the people you have in close to you becoming someone else and the threat that it could happen to you. So that's very much the fear of the other, which is a classic, in horror. So that's that definitely those. Cube, the first one. Not, don't bother with the second and third one, really, folks. I mean, there's no point. In fact, this is a film that did not need a sequel, because it worked extremely well. And the second one was straight to DVD. Both the second and third one were straight to DVD.
Yeah.
But the first one has a lot of tension. There's a lot of there's enough gore if you like that sort of thing. There's enough tension if you like that sort of thing. The characters are actually fairly well developed.
See, and that's one of the things about horror that has never appealed to me. I've never been a big fan of the horror genre because
sure.
I don't go for the, you know, jump out and boo
right.
and the blood and the gore and the violence and the all of I'm not that that's
well,
not me.
But I'll tell you what, one of the scariest horror films ever made is Carpenter's Halloween. And it was the template for the slasher movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it went downhill from there because every series, and then none of these things set out to be series in the first place, but all the ones that became these series, it's all like a watered down version. Friday the 13th is a watered down version. They missed the point.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Friday the 13th became about the kills, and a lot of
yeah.
modern horror is about the
kills. And it all escalates.
Right.
You know, how much more can we put?
Right. So, but the thing about the first Halloween is that it is relatively bloodless.
Mm-hmm.
There is very little blood and surprisingly little violence. And when the violence happens, it's very, very quick, and then it's over.
Yeah, and that's something that I think a lot of modern day filmmakers miss is quick in and out, boom,
right,
just done. And because the shock of it, I think, is more intense.
Sure.
When something happens,
right?
let me start throwing my pistol
exactly
across.
But it, yeah,
you know, and it's there, and it's just what just happened,
right?
You know, it's that reaction. You have that delayed, sure. And then it's passed, and you know, I think the longer it goes on, the more desensitized you get to it.
Well, yeah, oh,
it doesn't have the impact that it does.
And I would agree with that. I don't have a problem with it. Blood and viscera and the whole, you know, taking it over the top for a lot of horror films doesn't bother me because I know it's not real. I mean, it's
right.
Just – and, of course, we've made these pictures. We've worked on films that have, you know, blood budgets. And we know some great people here in town who are amazing effects folks and practical effects. Not that, you know, we know some great digital effects people too, but who build severed limbs. I mean, this is great.
Well, and we've done practical effects ourselves in Randolph Carter.
Yeah. So it's this. So I've never had, but the stuff that has been the stuff that I find too much, and this is a digression that I think, you know, because I want to get back to science fiction films here, but we will talk about horror because this is Halloween coming up.
Well, it's of a piece.
It's of a piece. The things that I have issues with is when someone has tied it in so well with the story and what you're watching, and they take it to that point where you are outside the boundaries. It's just hard to explain. There's a French film called Martyrs, which is, I will never watch again. I resisted watching that movie for a long, long time. I kept hearing how good it was. Mm. But I watched the trailer, and I was like, no, I don't want to watch this. I do not think I will do well watching this. And I was right. And it is a very hard film to watch, but it's very well done.
Yeah.
And the story is interesting. But it goes to a place that I find very, very uncomfortable. There's a film called The Serbian Film, which I cannot recommend in any way, shape, or form. It's extremely well done. It's obscene, and I mean that in the sense that
it goes past anything beyond acceptable levels of anything.
But it is also artistically, and I use that in the term of the art of filmmaking, art, the performances, and everything. It is incredibly well done, and I felt like I needed to bleach my brain. So, the reason those films have that reaction with me is because they take you to a place that is believable to me in a way that a slasher movie is not. The world is actually terribly short, thankfully, of people who walk around in masks with large butcher knives taking out co-eds. Okay?
Right.
It happens rarely.
Thank goodness.
It has happened, yeah. but it's not like, you know, it's they're not everywhere. And so there's a certain quaintness to Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees and these guys, right? Because they're fantasy.
Right.
Right. So things like the Serbian film, are set in the real world in a way that is very uncomfortable for me because
you could see it actually happening.
I know enough about the nature of humanity to say this, yes, somewhere in the world, horrible things are happening, and okay, never again am I watching this film.
Right.
Martyrs is much more of a fantastic.
And by that you mean related to fantasy,
right?
Yep.
But it's so matter of fact.
Mm.
It's almost clinical, and that makes it worse. So anyway, I mean, if you're a horror fan and you want to go someplace that you have probably never been, yeah, and don't know if you want to ever go there again, I could recommend Martyrs, just because it is very well written. And I think it is a genuinely scary movie.
Yeah.
Serbian film, don't watch it.
There was a movie that came out, oh, I guess it was in the 90s, mm-hmm, early 90s, I think. It was called Hardware.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Terrible, terrible movie.
Love that movie.
I couldn't get through it. I don't remember. I think I was maybe 15, 20 minutes into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is just such a terrible picture.
I love that film.
I couldn't stand to watch it.
Iggy Pop does the radio announcer.
Dylan McDermott. Yeah. And it looked, you know, the premise is really kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an interesting idea. And mm-hmm, it is, you know, and it does go back to that body horror thing, because you've got that, the machine in it, mm-hmm, and it comes back to life and, you know, takes over and all this. I'm like, oh, this seems kind of interesting. This is back in the day when, like you said, all the DVDs were out on the shelf.
Oh, sure.
And yeah, you pull, you mm-hmm know, you read the back cover and you go, oh, yeah, we can try this one. Mm-hmm. And it was just utter dreck.
See, I actually love that film because it does something. And part of it was the time. And it's actually on the list of films I've been telling people to watch. and the reason is that it is many ways it's a home invasion picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
and
I can see that.
And it is, you know, it's you being stalked by the thing you can't kill.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, for what it is, it's quite ingenious. And but it was very much marketed as a horror film. It was very much, I mean, it's set in the future. It's a science fiction film, but it was Fangoria.
It's got a Terminator vibe
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But and it's very much a creature of its time. Okay, you're not going to have any doubts it was made in the 80s. Okay, there's some of those films you just can tell.
Right.
But in terms of just it's a Saturday afternoon.
Mm.
Saturday afternoon, sitting on the couch with a beer, kind of movie.
Yeah.
It's not.
You're flipping channels, you see it. Oh, yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah. But leave it on the background. But it's also the kind of thing that could be fun to watch for Halloween.
Drinking game.
Oh, well, I have to think about where you go with the drinking game. Oh. I did want to say that I may have mentioned on this show before that I hate the Blair Witch Project. I think it's a terrible movie.
I do think you have said that, yes.
I admire their ad campaign because it was genius. And it did change. It changed the direction of horror for a while, because all we were getting were the slasher movies.
Right.
And those were dead. Those were dying fast. Nobody cared.
And Blair Witch led us to Cloverfield.
Right. Right. But which is a science fiction horror film.
Right.
However, from the director of the Blair Witch Project is the film that none of you saw, called Altered, which is worth hunting down. It is a alien abduction story, except it's the other way around. It's mm-hmm the people abducting the alien.
Oh, okay.
And it's friends coming to look for him.
Kind of like E.T.
Except I actually enjoyed it much, much more than the Blair Witch Project. I think the Blair Witch Project is a god-awful film. Yeah. I admire what they accomplished with it, especially on their budget. But it's a terrible, terrible movie. Altered is a much more, in terms of direction, in terms of production, the creature design.
Mm-hmm.
It's really solid picture, and nobody saw it, which is a terrible, terrible shame. Because I think if there has been these long gaps in the careers of the people who produced Blair Witch Project and wrote and directed it and things like that, and mostly it's because everyone wanted to follow up to the Blair Witch Project, which is, I'm sorry, it's
lightning in a bottle. Yeah. You're not going to be able to duplicate it.
So the fact that he went with a different direction and did something else, and it just did not register with the world, I thought was a terrible shame. That's definitely one I would recommend. It's genuinely creepy.
Yeah.
And it's a good, it's basically your alien abduction movie. And it's kind of fun in a weird way.
Yeah. But I'm going to make a recommendation of a couple of classics.
Yeah.
The Invisible Man.
Oh, yeah.
The black and white one.
Sure,
with Claude Rains. Yes. Alien, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Creature from the Black Lagoon, the original.
Mm-hmm. The swimming scene.
Would you count? I don't know that you'd count Blade Runner as horror.
Blade Runner.
It's suspense. It's definitely suspense.
Well, it's also it's neo noir.
Yeah.
And there is a kind of a connection with noir and horror, but it's an uneasy one because there are elements of especially in your darker noirs. Where your postman always rings twice and things like that. I mean, they're a more realistic kind of horror. There's no fantasy to the horror. It's just the horror of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
Double Indemnity is kind of like that.
Uh-huh. So you know,
it's like we're going to kill people.
And I think you can argue that there is a kind of you can call those a kind of horror film if you want to if you want to make the umbrella include.
It's a psychological type of horror.
So I wouldn't call Blade Runner that. But you should watch Blade Runner anyway.
Well, sure.
Especially since we're getting a sequel.
Yeah.
And nobody asked for it.
Yeah. Well, that's usually the way it works, right?
I mean, that's true. That's true.
I think the only sequel that anybody has ever really asked for was Star Wars. Before the prequels.
Right.
Yeah, you know? Then after the prequels, they're like, no, we're done.
Yeah.
And now we're getting a new one. It's like, yeah, I'm starting to get excited. I tell you, that's going to be the one to watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's going to have a $3 billion weekend.
Oh, easy.
Opening weekends, they're going to blow the doors off everything.
The pre-ticket sales.
Oh, I know. I know.
They broke the internet. Okay.
Several different sites. Well, they broke Fandango. They broke AMC.
Yep.
What was the other StubHub Sports? What was the other one?
Oh,
that they
wow,
did?
I don't remember. Yeah, but yeah, no, it's
all of the online ticketing and everything was just gone.
I think people want to see the film.
Maybe
there's some indications at this time. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yes,
because it's chemistry.
That's right.
And chemistry is a science.
And not the Jekyll and Hyde with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. We're talking about the original.
No. Yeah. Definitely go with
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yes. Event Horizon.
Event Horizon,
Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne.
I guess maybe the scarier version of the Black Hole.
It is very much the scarier version of the Black Hole, and it is the closest thing that an audience is going to find to Hellraiser in Space done right. There was a Hellraiser in Space movie, and it was called Hellraiser 4, and we try very, very hard to forget, because it was another troubled production, and it didn't quite work. And that particular storyline, moving into space, was not at all a good fix. But Event Horizon, for the folks who really like science fiction and really like horror, it goes to both pretty effectively because it's about dimensional travel. It's just the problem is when you open the door, where are you going? Because that's not another dimension you went into, sir. That's hell itself. So, if you're a fan of Doom, the game series.
Right.
Or Dead Space or something like that.
Well, they did a Doom movie, didn't they? With The Rock?
They made a movie. It was called Doom. it had a first-person shooter sequence, but it is not remotely the
Dracula would be one. And really, you could do either the one with Boris Karloff, or you could do Coppola's version. Coppola's version I thought was pretty good.
Coppola's version, if nothing else, for the fact that it's gorgeous.
And the music's really good.
And the music's really good.
Love the music in that.
Because Coppola did something that was, at the time, pretty ballsy. Because he sat there and went and used some of the original style of visual storytelling that had just people weren't doing anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really impressive. And the costumes, the production design on that film is it's beautiful, beautiful film. It's got Keanu Reeves being terrible.
He did okay.
He is not someone who does accents. Keanu Reeves has
No.
He has a skill set. Within that skill set, he's very, very good. I've enjoyed a lot of films with Keanu Reeves.
Although he did okay playing the flummoxed, I don't know what's going on, trying to figure things out.
Sure, but they should not have asked him to do an English accent. It's not where his skills lie.
No.
Well,
they could have dubbed him like they did Annie McDowell in the Tarzan movie.
Well, yes, that would have been... Day of the Triffids.
Yeah.
A British film. Killer Plants.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's a classic there that's fun to watch.
Invaders from Mars.
Invaders from Mars.
I remember seeing the remake when they made the remake. Yeah, I remember that one. And honestly, I'm trying to rack my brain to see if I watched the original. I think I have. I think I've seen the original.
They're very different films. It's not even really a remake.
But it's funny that in the remake, there's one scene where the police show up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two cops, and they go up. And one of them says, "I haven't been up here since I was a kid."
Right.
And he was the original kid in the first movie.
Right.
And I thought, oh, no, that's a nice touch. I didn't find out about that until afterwards. But yeah, Invaders from Mars is kind of a fun, schlocky. I mean, if you want to go into that stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know, Alien Trespass. One with Eric McCormick.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, it was on, where was that on, Sci-Fi or USA?
Oh, it had to be USA. Yeah,
but it's one of those that's very tongue-in-cheek, but it's the you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers type of thing, and, you know, the aliens are.
Well, if you want to play with that, go with Mars Attacks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mars Attacks would be a fun one, too. See, you could do two different tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're having your party, mm-hmm. you have two different parties or whatever. One night can be all the really scary Alien and The Fly you know, those kind of things. And then the next night you have Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man.
Right. Yeah. Because you know? comedy science fiction There's and horror actually blend together surprisingly well.
Yeah.
Because the comedy horror is never scary, and comedy science fiction is not something you think about unless there's horror attached to it.
Well, we don't see, and I have said this for years. There is not enough comedy science fiction in any stripe.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
you've got Red Dwarf, and then what else?
Well, Hitchhiker's Guide, and Red Dwarf, Dark Matter, and what's the other one on
Killjoys?
Killjoys. They have a sense of humor. Okay.
Yeah, but they're not comedies.
No, they're not comedies.
They're not like the Jeffersons in space. I mean, I want to see something moving up in three dimensions.
I had to wrap my brain around that for a second. I still don't think I've pulled it off.
But I mean, yeah, you have that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. You don't have sitcoms that are science fiction.
Wasn't there a film? It's not important, but there was some film that was set in. It was a science fiction film that was sort of set almost like a situation comedy. It was a feature. And the last couple of years, we'll look it up and I'll answer that question at a later time. But
I think
Matt Bomer might have been in it.
I just got a review copy of the new DVD collection of My Favorite Martian.
Oh wow! Oh, yeah.
And it's the whole series. The entire series, a box set.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't opened it yet, but I looked at it the other day. I'm like, we don't have comedies like this anymore.
Well, and I think that's
and especially in this day and age with the environment that we have now, you know, society being the way it is and the economy being the way it is and politics all over the place, all these other things, it is the perfect breeding ground for a comedy. Because because comedy is an escape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is when you have the disaster in reality, that's when you come up with the escapist stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like The Wizard of Oz and
and
those kind of things. And we're not getting any of that. We're getting The Hunger Games. We're getting apocalyptic, you know, the teenagers are the only ones who can save us by shooting arrows and killing each other and society's broken down.
We'd like some hope in our science fiction.
Yeah, but I want to see a really
good comedy.
I want a comedy. Maybe we'll make one.
Maybe we should.
We make the comedy, and we'll do a Halloween episode. So we have the comedy horror. And in the meantime, as you get ready for your Halloween parties, Halloween festivities.
There is some Lovecraft horror. Science fiction from beyond.
Yes.
From beyond, which was, I think, one of the lesser of the Lovecraft little resurgence there in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But it's science fiction and it's horror. Because Lovecraft was a science fiction writer as well as a horror. We think of him as a horror writer, but he
evolved into science fiction.
Right. The Cthulhu mythos
took started as horror.
Took on a science fiction very much at the tail end. Godzilla.
Yeah.
Godzilla is a horror film. Especially the original one, because that was almost societal horror.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the
horror of nuclear weapons.
And of course, it's a monster movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's largish,
a little bit,
and he's coming to stomp on you.
Yeah.
And there is, if you've only seen the pretty good, I enjoyed it very much. The most recent Godzilla film. If you've only seen that, then you owe it to yourself to go back and watch the original, because it's a very different movie.
I had a DVD here in the house somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was a special edition of Gojira. It was Gojira. It wasn't Godzilla.
Right.
It was the original title, and the 1956 and everything, all this stuff. And I can't find it to save my life. And I haven't been able to find it anywhere else. Just looking online or doing whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be fun.
I'm kicking myself looking for that.
The Hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle MacLachlan and Chris Sarandon.
No.
Alien body snatcher. Buddy cop. X-Files-ish kind of thing. And of course, the X-Files. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
Especially that's something you could do on Halloween. Just do an X-Files marathon, because the whole thing was built around science fiction and horror.
Life Force.
Oh.
Space vampires.
Yeah. So Life Force is a film I can highly recommend, but it's not any good. It's not a good movie.
That's your drinking
Toby
game movie.
Toby Hooper. Oh, yeah.
See, and that's funny, because Toby Hooper did Poltergeist.
The cast of that film.
Life Force
is amazing. It is full of, there's so, Patrick Stewart.
I know.
Is in that movie.
Yeah.
And it is Steve Railsback.
There's so many people.
What is her name? Matilda May?
Yeah.
Is that the young lady?
Yeah.
It is the only science fiction film, I think, where you have an actress who never wears any clothes. And it's not erotic in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-mm, no, she's an alien vampire.
And she's
space vampire.
And I gotta give her credit. She always comes across as unnerving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a film that is overstuffed.
I don't know how they're going to do it on TV.
They're stuffed.
Yeah.
There's overstuffed. There's overstuffed to the bursting point, and then there's Life Force.
What about Species? Species is a pretty good one.
Definitely the first one. Second one was that was a Law of Diminishing Returns series, but the first one certainly a very solid blending of it was Alien on Earth to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
It was let's build an alien and make it Natasha Henstridge. Kickstarted her career. We have that to thank for it, if nothing else. But no, it's fun.
You've got the Resident Evil movies, which are science fiction horror.
Yeah,
zombie.
In the same way that the game is survival horror with a science fiction. I mean, Dead Space. That's another show where we can talk about science fiction games that are horror as well. Because Dead Space, of course, is that sort of thing. But Doom actually is science fiction horror. But yeah, no, especially the first Resident Evil film, again, that's sort of a series that's just chugging along because people keep giving them money and they're going to make them as long as they do.
They Live.
Oh, yes.
Roddy Piper just passed away here not too long ago.
Right.
That's one of his, that's
and timely, if you are, if as we are, as we are here in political silly season, I think it behooves you to go out and watch a film about someone going, hang on. they're monsters. that could be fun. It came from outer space.
Yeah.
okay. I could recommend it for about the first half of the movie, I Am Legend. The first half of
the Will Smith version.
The first half of that film is good.
Yeah.
And then it goes off the rails. But you know what? Go find
The Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price.
Yep.
Okay. Stay away from the mega
top five. What are your five?
Top five is going to be Alien,
mm-hmm.
The Thing,
all right.
Frankenstein, the James Whale version. I'm actually a really big fan. Well, I'm a big fan. I really, really did enjoy Event Horizon for melding the two, and it's another great cast one that actually works. Maybe. I see. The fifth one would be tough because then you're getting all the ones you're trying to try not to leave out.
Sure, sure.
But I'm probably a classic person. I'd go with Creature of the Black Lagoon. I mean, I love the classic films. I love those things that just they were charting new territory, and they were there was a. I had a. The film organization that I'm currently president of meets at a movie theater, and I had one of the bartenders at the bar at the movie theater, Creature from the Black Lagoon, played there one night, and he ran out, and he was like, that film is amazing. He'd never seen it before. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, the swimming scene. I said, I know. The swimming scene is, I mean, the swimming scene is for modern audiences, might not necessarily have the impact it did for the audiences then, but I completely get how terrifying that scene is and how beautiful it is, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. My five are going to be Alien,
mm-hmm.
Dracula,
mm-hmm.
either one of them.
Sure.
The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
I'll go with The Thing, even though I haven't seen it. Carpenter's version. I've seen the original.
Yeah.
And then... Godzilla.
Yeah.
Be my five.
And we have not even touched on films like the Reanimator movies, which are can fall into that category. The Phantasm films. Okay, guys, if you hear there's your weekend watching. Get the first three Phantasm movies because there are
a lot of them.
Well, no, there's really only three. But they're because Angus Scrimm,
mm-hmm.
the tall man, is one of the most genuinely creepy, and he's so nice in the real world, but he's one of the most genuinely creepy villains in the history of cinema. And it's just the way he looks. He's just the guy in a suit, and he's like, oh, you're terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's so many great stuff out there, and there's a lot of terrible ones, but Halloween should be fun, so you can enjoy a bad...
Sure.
Bad horror film.
Yeah, do a schlock fest.
Yeah, why
not? Because Joe Bob Briggs,
mm-hmm.
who was a writer for the Dallas Times Herald, Dallas Morning News, film critic,
mm-hmm. yeah.
He loves the drive-in B-movie schlock horror stuff, mm-hmm. and fantasy. So it's perfectly fine to like that stuff.
Oh, of course it is.
And if you've got you and the audience out there, if you have your recommendations, if you've got your favorites, whether they're guilty pleasures or not, mm-hmm. that's fine too. You can let us know with a comment on our website or on the social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, and Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also send us an email, h2o@scififorme.com. Keep the feedback rolling in. Even if it's not about this particular topic, you can suggest topics.
You can
critique our show. Give us some thoughts on what you like, what you don't like, because we are tweaking. We're doing a few things here.
Oh yeah,
In the background. So there's that, and you can also call our hotline, which is area code 573-42-SCIFI. And next week,
mm-hmm.
what are we going to do next week? Let's tease next week. Do we know what we're going to do next week?
Well, we had talked about having some actual feedback from our. Our audience.
We do a
Stump the Host
show. Stump the Host email show.
Yeah.
So next week, assuming that we get the email, we'll do a mailbag show next week, maybe.
So if you're something that you wanna hear us talk about, or you think you can sit there and go, they don't know anything about this.
Yes.
We would love to hear it.
You know, funny thing is we kind of did a little bit of that at at Kansas City Comic Con this year when we recorded our episode out there, And it was a really interesting conversation. I mean, it was mm-hmm. a good back and forth from the audience and us. So yeah, we like doing that. So send us your comments, send us your questions, your thoughts. And in the meantime, put your Halloween parties together with our recommendations, and mm-hmm. and we will be back with another episode of H2O next week. In the meantime, also check out superherostuff.com. They've got some costume contests going on.
Yeah, so much.
The Batman
stuff going
T-shirt
on.
Is back. So check those out, and we will return in a week's time.
This has been a presentation of sci-fi4me.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.